the supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. This is today's special, which comes to you. The topic of this program is Naming the Child.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard. Each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word. They could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Today, Saturday, is the 19th of Rabiul Thani, 1442. Of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of December, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Surah Maryam verses 6 to 8.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. يرثني ويرث من آل يعقوب واجعله رب رضيا.
Who will inherit me and inherit from the family of Jacob and make him, my Lord, pleasing to you.
يا زكريا إنا نبشرك بغلام اسمه يحيى لم نجعل له من قبل سميا.
He was told, O Zechariah, indeed, we give you good tidings of a boy whose name will be John. We have not assigned to any before this name.
قَالَ رَبِّ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا وَقَدْ بَلَغْتُ مِنَ الْكِبَرِ عِتِيًّا.
He said, My Lord, how will I have a boy when my wife has been barren and I have reached extreme old age?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Quranic phrases, the same name to none before him, means either that the name Yahya had not been used before him, or that such personal qualities were not found in anyone before him. Zakaria, who did not see the relevant preconditions to assist in gaining what he desired, asked Allah to explain the circumstance for him. Let's learn more about naming the child in Islam. One of the prime responsibilities of the parents is the selection of a name for the newborn child. They should not treat this important thing as a triviality. Individuals and families are recognized with their names. If the name is affable, the person will be well received by the people. Persons with unpleasant sounding names will not get good attention from others, and sometimes even they might ridicule them. The persons who are given improper names will be victims of inferiority complex. Therefore, Islam requires the parents to exercise care in selecting good names for their children. The Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, has said, "It is the responsibility of every father to choose a good name for his child." Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with names and choosing names for our children. It's certainly the sole characteristic of human communities that people select names for the children. And because of this, we find that this naming practice or custom may be different in different countries, in different nations, or among different communities of people. But in all of them, a name is finally chosen for the newborn baby. In some communities, in some communities, we find that, for example, parents or either of the parents may choose a name for the baby. In other communities, we find that out of respect, the parents may ask the elders, for example, grandfather or grandmother of the newborn baby, to choose a name for it. At the same time, we find that there are some other aspects to be concerned with. In the Islamic religion, we find that sometimes it's indicated that a name should be agreed upon or selected before the baby is born. And the name should be a good name, not a bad name. I mean, semantically, and from the point of meaning, the name should carry a positive meaning, not a negative meaning, because it's believed that the semantic content, the meaning content of the name, exerts its influence on the person who bears that meaning, that name.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Islamic tips on naming Muslim baby. It would be very interesting. Make sure the name has a positive meaning. The meaning of your baby's name should be positive and meaningful. Having a positive, humble, meaningful name subconsciously reflects on your child's character when they grow up and in the society in general. The writer of our program have a suggestion. Prefer an Arabic name. Try to give your baby a meaningful Arabic name, preferably a positive name, word that was mentioned in the Holy Quran and Hadith of the Infallibles.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been. So close, everyone will say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati,
the Islamic naming system. The Arabic system of naming people according to their father's names, which was endorsed by the Prophet and approved by Allah, is considered the Islamic naming system. The fact that European colonialism has managed to corrupt the application of the Islamic naming system, especially among non-Arab Muslims, does not in any way alter its validity. By colonial times, the Western naming system had degenerated into a meaningless jumble of names followed by a family name. influenced by the Greco-Roman culture in which women were considered to be the property of men. Western societies erased the woman's family name upon marriage and replaced it with that of her husband. In the Islamic system, the wife retains her father's name as it indicates her true lineage. However, both of these degenerative Western trends have been widely adopted in many Muslim countries along with other un-Islamic traditions.
When it comes to the topic of our children, the Holy Quran, the Book of God, the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clearly illustrates two points. The first point is that our children are the greatest, or one of the greatest blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And they are a source of our pride. The Holy Quran says, "Al-mal wal-banun zinatul hayat ad-dunya." Allah says that wealth and children are the adornment. They beautify this world, this life for us. And that's why we love our children so much. And thus it's stated that during the Jahiliyyah, the Arabs used to take so much pride in their children. A father would walk, and five sons on his right, five sons on his left. And they used to boast about their children. The more children I have, the more exalted I am. And that's why when they used to fight Rasulullah, some of the enemies of our Prophet, what would they tell him? They used to tell him, "We are better than you." And what was their reasoning? They used to tell him, "We're better than you because we have more wealth and more children than you." وَقَالُوا نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا. We have more children than you, and that's why we're better. So they used to show off their children. They used to boast about their children. Some people, they show off their wealth. Others, they show off their children. And when it comes to Islam, you find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he's narrated in one hadith, he says, تَنَاكَحُوا تَنَاسَلُوا فَإِنِّي أُبَاهِي بِكُمُ الْأُمَمِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says, get married and have lots of children, because on the Day of Judgment, I, Rasulullah, will boast about you Muslims. Because we Muslims are like the children of Rasulullah, we're his followers.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark, I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us reflect on an aphorism worth pondering upon from the leader of the pious and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. He who gallops with loose reins will collide with death.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In our previous program, we mentioned one of the results of remaining in the state of purity or being in wudu majority of the time or most of the time. Best time to actually do this when you're actually going out to do something, you know, you're in the wudu. It also has a lot of other benefits to it. For example, just quickly mentioning that if you go out to, for example, a shopping mall or, you know, wherever you are going, and it's time for salah, you can just quickly, you know, you have wudu, you pray your salah quickly. This is one of the advantages. However, in the tradition we will mention today, is a very, again, simple step that a person can take in order for a person's lifespan to be increased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The previous one was about wudu, something simple, something that takes less than 5 minutes to do. And this one, it's something that requires no effort whatsoever. You could say, okay, in the previous one, you had to get water. You had to go and, you know, stand on one leg at times, depending on where you're making the wudu, and so on and so forth. But in this one, you don't require anything. You just require yourself, the most, you know, self-evident thing that you have, your own being, yourself, and your thoughts. And by doing this particular action within yourself, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if done with the proper intention, again, be very careful to this word, or with the proper purpose rather, it's a better way of saying it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will increase your lifespan. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said that person who has good intentions, just good intentions, he wants to do good things, he wants to, you know, help others, for example. He doesn't do it. He wants to. He wants to, for example, give charity. He wants to, for example, provide for his family, and so on and so forth. And sometimes you have an individual who doesn't have the ability to do so, but he wants to do it. He really has the urge and the fervor to do it, but he just doesn't have the ability to, or the capability to. That's different from someone who has the capability and doesn't want to but intends to. We need to keep us in mind in the context of this tradition. So the Imam says that he who has good intentions is given an increase in lifespan. Again, as we mentioned in our previous program, the concept of lifespan, the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qadr and qadr, or divine decree and predestination, and so on and so forth, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all this comes into play in this hadith. And we said because the theological basis of the school of thought of the followers, or rather the theological school of thought of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, has the ability to answer these questions very, you know, succinctly, very, you know, properly, that we have no qualms in this. But some individuals who follow other theological schools of thought might find difficulty in answering this based on what I mentioned previously. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, to give us those good intentions that are proper, and then obviously to give us the reward of that, or the blessing of that, and then to use that increase in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
أدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first, we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we're going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. The Quran is a book in which its beauty is confessed by even non-Muslim scholars. In this segment, we are going to listen to some quotes from different scholars about the Noble Quran. Arthur John Arbery, 1905-1969, was a British Orientalist and a scholar of Arabic, Persian, and Islamic studies. He was educated at Portsmouth Grammar School and Pembroke College, Cambridge. His English translation of the Quran, namely the Quran interpreted, is particular amongst academics worldwide. In his book, he wrote the following: in making the present attempt to produce something which might be accepted as echoing, however faintly, the sublime rhetoric of the Arabic Quran, I have been at pains to study the intricate and richly varied rhythms which, apart from the message itself, constitute the Quran's undeniable claim to rank amongst the greatest literary masterpieces of mankind. This very characteristic feature, that inimitable symphony, as the believing Pictol described his holy book, has been almost totally ignored by previous translators. It is therefore not surprising that what they have wrought sounds dull and flat indeed, in comparison with the splendidly decorated original. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 52 and 53 of Surah Ash-Shura, recited by Sheikh Shahad Muhammad Anwar. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكذلك أوحينا
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was the recitation of verses 52 to 53 of Surah Shura by Sheikh Shahad Muhammad Anwar. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا. Okay, in this phrase, we have two matulins in the word أوحينا. One thing to note about matulin is that you have to lengthen this mad more than two vowel counts only when there is a saken letter after the matulin. For example, in the word yaum or dayn, okay, ayn, these are words where the matulin can be lengthened more than two vowel counts. But if it's in the middle of the sentence, or in the, if you're doing wasl and you're not stopping on such words, matulin is not lengthened more than two vowel counts. And by vowel counts, two vowel counts, we mean the short vowel plus the wav or ya sakina. Au hayna. We don't say au hayna. Au hayna. No, we say au hayna. This would be two vowel counts of matulin. Ruham min amrina. We have two rules of nun sakina here. The first one is idgham of nun sakina, where there's a tanween followed by a meme, and so you have idgham al ghunna, and then we have ilhar of nun sakina, min amrina, min amrina. The nun is pronounced from its own place of articulation because there is a letter of the throat after the nun sakina. Okay. ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا. Okay, we had إخفاء نون ساكنة in this phrase. كنت. We have to approximate the place of articulation of تا and make a nasal sound at the same time for two vowel counts. Another one, another إخفاء is in ولكن جعلنا As you can see, I'm moving the tongue close to the place of articulation of jin, keeping it there, making a nasal sound for two vowel counts, and then pronouncing the jin. Nuran nahdi. We have idgham of nun sakina ma'al ghunna. Nuran nahdi bihi man nasha'u min ibadina. In the word nasha'. We have maddul muttasil, which should be lengthened to four or five vowel counts. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Now, we have three letters of isti'la with kasra, or tanween al-kasr. And all of them have to be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim. صِرَاطٍ. صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. The صاد, the طاء, and the قاف. صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Okay, again we have صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ. The راء has تَفْخِيمٍ because it has ألف المد. And also the راء of الأرض because the راء is ساكن and preceded by a letter with a فتحة. And finally, the last phrase of this verse is أَلَا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَصِيرُ الْأُمُورُ. أَلَا إِلَى, we have مَدُّ الْمُنْفَصِلِ here, so you have to lengthen this مَد either to two, four, or five vowel counts. And الْأُمُورُ, we do وَقْفُ الْإِسْكَانِ, and the رَاء becomes ساكن, and we have to pronounce it with تَفْخِيمٍ. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Let's Recite the Quran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio.
As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Inshallah, in this episode, we will again look at another story of another individual who was, you know, attracted by the eloquence and the rhetoric of the 44th verse of the 11th chapter of the Holy Quran. As we said previously, that if a person tries to challenge the Holy Quran, it is most likely that he will be captured by the Holy Quran. And we have seen this. Again, these are reported events that have occurred in history by certain individuals, by certain, you know, professors of Arabic language, if you like to call them that. You know, those individuals who at that time were the most learned individuals in the intricacies and the subtleties of the Arabic language. For those brothers and sisters who know Arabic, who, for example, have studied the sciences of morphology or sarf or grammar or nahu, will know that the Arabic language is very intricate. Even these basic, before you even get into the concept of balagha and so on and so forth, which this verse is known for, as the Arabs themselves, just by reading it, would know it. Just like a person who's really high in English will know that the eloquence of reading, for example, a poem by William Shakespeare, for example, is something that, you know, is eloquent in terms of the English language. Or, for example, a Persian or a person who knows Farsi will understand the poetry and who will understand the intricacies of the poetry that comes from the great Persian poets such as Maulana Rumi or Hafiz and so on and so forth. So here, for example, the Arabs were like that. So there was one individual by the name of Ibn Muqaffah, and he was known as a grammarian, as a person who was, you know, a scholar in the Arabic language, and he was famous for it. And it is written that this individual was Iranian, and he translated one of the storybooks, on the Iranian storybooks, which originally comes from the Indian subcontinent, into Arabic, and was one of the best that he could have at that particular time. So this individual became Muslim at the hands of a person known as Isa ibn Ali. This individual was the uncle of Safah Abbasi, who was obviously one of the Abbasid Khalifs. So before that, he was a Zoroastrian and he became Muslim. So this individual again decided to take up the challenge of waging a so-called intellectual war against the Holy Quran. And because he was a person who knew eloquence, he was a person who knew Arabic language and the intricacies and delicacies of the language, he decided to do so. So anyway, he began. And by chance, he crossed and he passed, or rather he crossed paths with a young individual, as the story goes, a boy, who was reciting this verse of the Holy Quran, وَقِيلَ يَا عَرْضُ لَعِي, and so on and so forth, as the verse goes. And when he came across this verse and became across the eloquence of this verse, he said to himself that this Quran cannot be something that we can compare to the words of normal man. And he then put all his writings and all his, you know, mind maps and all his things that he wished to challenge. It is said that he actually destroyed them because he realized that what he was doing was a waste of time. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان
تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
One of the very fascinating discussions that I'd like to look at briefly tonight is how is it that people react to different things that go on in their lives? And what is the typical response and what is the ideal response? Because this is something which can definitely have an effect in our health. You know, the way that we feel towards things. When you go to the Quran, there's a whole set of verses where Allah describes different ways that people react to different things that transpire in their lives. Sometimes good things happen to us, sometimes bad things happen to us. And according to one brilliant analysis by one of the scholars, his name is Sheikh Pasandideh. He says that if you look at all the verses and you put them together, there are four typical responses that people have when bad things happen to them, and four typical responses that people have when good things happen to them. And all of them, if you look at it from the perspective of everything being under God's command, all of them are incorrect. So I want to mention these four, both four things that people react when something bad happens and four things that people react when good things happen, and then inshallah draw some conclusion from that. So when it comes to the negative events happen in our lives, it happens all the time, right? It can be somebody disappointing us, it can be in a relationship, it can be like the loss of a job, it can be a sickness, right? And it's often these difficulties that come up in our lives that are the source of a lot of grief for us. In the Quran, there are four ways that people respond to these events that are described. One of them, let's talk about the good events first. So sometimes good things happen to us, right? Like where, okay, we get a blessing, we get some breakthrough, like we get our investment comes through. Okay, so what are four typical responses? Number one, the Quran mentions the idea of farah, meaning that somebody, when something, like they get something, right, something good happens to them, they become very happy, but happy in a way that God is not in the picture. That's number one. Number two is fakh, where when something good happens to them, like they, get a degree or they get a promotion or they get a car or they have some blessing, like they have a good voice or they have good looks or something, then they start to look at themselves and feel pride over other people. That's number two. Number three is something called man'a, where Allah mentions in the Quran that human beings are such that when good things happen to them, they stop giving to others, right? They just hold back from that. And number four is something called i'rad, where when good things happen to somebody, they turn away from God and they go far away from Him. Now, as I'm saying these things, one of the ways that I would suggest that brothers and sisters can use this practically is to think about this, that God in the Quran is describing, different personalities and how people react to things that happen to them in their lives. So where am I on this map, right? Because all of us, alhamdulillah, have some set of blessings, good things that happen to us, we think back, right? How is it that we react to these things? On the other hand, when negative things happen to people, there are four qualities that they can typically exhibit. One of them is the quality of qunut, where they despair, they lose hope. Number two is the quality of kufran, where when negative things happen to them, they become ungrateful to God for the good things that He's given them. Number three is something called jaza. Jaza is where they become anxious and worried when bad things happen to them. And number four that the Quran mentions is that there are some class of people that they never turn to God when good things are happening to them, but when bad things happen to them, they engage in dua to Allah. So that is a case where they do remember Allah. Okay, and even though I'm putting this in a category of the way not to react, of course making dua is always good, but the dua they're making is one where they're just calling upon Allah and there's no action behind that. Okay, and there's a lot of hopelessness along with that as well too. Now, what I mentioned here is four typical reactions to when good things happen and four reactions when negative things happen. And these have to do with God's knowledge of our personalities. He knows how human beings are. And He's saying that, look at, this is a typical response and reaction that you might have if you don't have a proper position for me in your life. Good things happen and you become like that. You turn away from me. Bad things happen and you become like this. You lose hope, you reject everything that came before. And I'm sure if we think about maybe people in our lives, we think about ourselves even, we can see that maybe we sort of shift between some of these things. It doesn't have to be that somebody always sticks with the same thing. Sometimes they shift, you know, from one or to the other depending on what the situation is. The Quran describes the people like Qarun. Qarun was somebody who, you know, he had so much wealth, right? Things, good things were happening to him, right? That he started to exhibit maybe, you know, all of these characteristics. He, you know, he was very happy with himself, right? He was priding himself over other people. He became bakhil. He prevented other people from getting access to his wealth. In fact, he used to oppress them and he had economic oppression going on. And he turned away from God altogether. And it's a story that's mentioned in the Quran as a historical event, but we have modern day Qaruns as well. You know, I don't know if you guys heard about the guy who, you know, he had a shirt sewn for him out of pure gold, right? Because he said, okay, I'm so rich, right? I want to have a shirt pure gold. And, you know, he's walking around this country where people are like, you know, very, very poor, and he's walking around with a solid gold shirt, right? And, you know, you got to wonder, you know, somebody who has so much money that they would put into a shirt, right? When people are starving on the streets, like, what kind of person are there? Where's God in their lives? And then, you know, just a matter of like a year or two after he sold that shirt for himself, you know, he was, you know, a gang found him and they beat him up and they took his life, right? Now, that's the story of a modern day Qarun. And unfortunately, you know, in our own lives, we might see aspects of like Qarun-like aspects as well too. That when good things happen to us, we start to close up, right? How many people, for example, when they start to make earnings, they get too busy to keep their khums calculation, for example, right? One of the requirements is that on a yearly basis, we have to give. It's not our own money, right? But, you know, things get busy, we stop caring about that type of thing, right? How many people, when they get busy, they stop giving from the time that they have to do things which are necessary, salat al-rahim, making connection with their parents, making connection with their fellow brothers and sisters, helping out at the center. How many people, when life starts, you know, taking off for them and they start to succeed, you know, they start thinking about their dream house. And it's nothing wrong with owning a house, and, you know, it's a good idea for mu'mineen to have homes and to have property. But, you know, of course, everything in moderation. Whereas, you know, the idea of building a house for Allah, meaning like the masjids and the centers and those institutions that play the role of education and spirituality, like Islamic schools, that is something that people don't give priority to. So all of that is a type of reaction that is described in Quran for people who, when good things happen to them, where they don't give God His proper position in their lives. Now, on the other hand, right, when negative things happen, right, the Quran is describing that look at your personality, if you don't have this type of greater awareness and you haven't given God his proper place in your life, and you're interpreting events in the wrong way, then you can start to exhibit these negative characteristics. Right? What are they? We're being hopeless. Right? Why are you hopeless? Why does somebody become hopeless when something is taken away from them? It's because they saw that when it was given to them, that somehow it was their own. That somehow it came about because of their own planning and their own sort of like management. But if they realize that the root of that blessing and everything that transpired in order for it to come your way was not from yourself, then things would be different. Right? They wouldn't feel hopeless because they know the same one who gave them that blessing and took it away from them is the same one who is there for them right now as well.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.